I'm Jacob Tender.
I'm Mike Comite. Welcome back to Bantha Fodder. We're on episode 27 today, and we're coming at you with our, what would you call this? Our
reactions.
I don't like the reactions.
Takes.
I don't like the
feelings.
Takes.
Thoughts.
I like the thoughts and feelings. I like
our thoughts and feelings.
What about dissection? How do you feel about the word dissection?
Dissection to me sounds like we're going to get really, really deep into it, and I don't have a shot for shot breakdown like I normally do with the trailer, so I don't know if we can call it a dissection.
I think we can. I feel like I get that you didn't gif it like you normally do. For anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, just go back to some of our trailer breakdowns for like Rogue One and Episode 7, Episode 8. Actually, we didn't do a breakdown for Episode 7, right?
Well, I did a breakdown for Episode 7.
Oh.
But we weren't allowed to talk about it on the show.
That's true.
Which is actually, that's something, let's circle back to that. I want to talk about how we're looking at this movie differently than the last one. Can we talk about Episode 8? I dig into absolutely everything when a new Star Wars movie comes out. But this year, or this past year, when that movie came around, you were like adamant to see nothing.
Not nothing. And it was the same
almost
way for,
nothing.
It was the same thing for Rogue One, too. You remember? With Rogue One, I'm all in on the first teaser, and then I'm out.
Yeah.
Once I see what the look and feel of this movie is, then I can cash out my chips. Like, that's when I'm good, is once I know what the look and feel is and the general aesthetic, I can move on. And so with Episode 8, yeah, we did a really awesome dissection of Episode 8, remember?
But with this one, like with Rogue One, I didn't follow you, and I looked at everything, I watched everything, but for Episode 8, I also did the whole, like, I didn't see anything for this one. And I don't know.
Yeah, you went in cold.
Yeah, completely cold. And I thought, well, you know what? This might, like, actually make it more enjoyable for me because everything's going to be more of a surprise. And I don't know. Like, I don't know how that panned out for me because as anybody who's been listening to our show for the past couple months knows, I wasn't, like, quite as keen on the last movie as I have been with movies past. So with this one, I wasn't even sure. Like, I'm like, well, I mean, this is just another one of those standalone movies, and it's the one that's had the most problems anyway, so it's, does it really matter? And I feel like your feelings on that are different as well, because you don't seem as hesitant to read about stuff and watch trailers for this movie. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's true, and I think it's because mostly we've been kind of kept in the dark about what this thing is actually going to look like. And right now we got our first teaser / trailer 4 months from release of the movie, which, you know what? That's totally normal. I'm okay with that. I wish that every movie was like that in retrospect. I wish that a year in advance, I didn't have to know about what the next Star Wars movie was going to look like. All those things a year in advance, like when it hits you with like December of next year, this will come out. You know, that was excruciating. So I guess maybe now I'm okay with anticipation actually building, you know, in an acceptable amount of time from when it's
from
coming
the last
out.
One?
No, well, not from the last one. That's a separate topic for like a different day, like how soon, you know, these movies are being released from each other. But like it's more in terms of like from release date, you know, like 4 months anticipation. Like, I don't know. I kind of like the Cloverfield method where they just dump it on you like maybe 2 months in advance, like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, but that's not how they sell tickets.
Right, but I mean, that doesn't affect how good the movie is.
I mean, I'm surprised it's been this long into production without anything. Like, when we, you know, this teaser's been out for, well, like, almost 2 weeks now, is that right? I don't know when the football game was, but, you know, normally we'd get a trailer far
a year
that.
In advance, right?
Yeah. And so with this one, you know, production's been fraught, yada, yada, yada.
That's been the trailer almost. That's been the marketing for them. Like, it's weird that their train wreck of a movie has been the way that people are getting word about this movie. And you know, like, there's no, like, oh, do you see that great trailer? Do you see the Falcon doing that thing? It's been like, oh, did you hear the directors got fired and they brought in Ron Howard to do the rest of it? And they're reshooting 90% of the film. Did you hear that, what's his name? Alden Ehrenreich's accent isn't good enough and they're bringing in acting coaches for him to do a better Han Solo. Like, that has been the marketing for this movie, and it's just,
I mean, that's rough. That's not it's not a good look.
But maybe that's what's making me okay with watching these teasers, or this teaser, you know, like, just to have like a taste of something to reassure me that this is not going to be a train wreck. And I don't know, like, I think the vibe I've been giving off is that it's going to be a train wreck, and that's kind of how I felt like in the months leading up to the teaser and like probably the minutes after watching the teaser. And now that I've had like 2 weeks to sit on it, I feel way better about it and kind of where I was before episode 8 came out. Mm-hmm. Where I was just like, oh, I'm ready. Whatever happens, happens. And I have no expectations going into this.
Yeah.
Because I think I don't know. Like, there's so many hot takes on it. And like, I record podcasts at HeadGum. And I was with a Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. And we were just kind of going over the teaser probably like a couple days after it aired. And going around the table, we were saying, oh, yeah, well, we have to. Like, we have to look at this as in terms of, like, how well is he doing Han Solo? I don't think he's selling it. You know, I don't think Alden is doing it right. And my gut reaction was like, yeah, he's not. I don't believe it's Han Solo. And then, like, I took a week and just sat there and thought about it. And I was like, you know what? Like, that line at the end of the teaser, which we'll get to, where, you know, where he's like, we're fine. Everything's fine. You know, like, my initial reaction was like, that sounds stupid. And I hate his voice and his stupid face. What a dumb thing they're doing. And then a week goes by and I'm just like, all right, just mentally substitute Harrison Ford in that scene. That is exactly what Han Solo would say. You know, like, Kasdan wrote this?
Yeah, it was written by Lawrence and John Kasdan.
Father and son.
Nice little duo. Yeah, I was doing the same thing, actually. The substitution thing's a big deal. My cousin Nick and I were chatting over iMessage about the movie and the trailer just a little bit a week or so ago, and Han Solo is his favorite character, so I think, you know, that's the same for a lot of people. Obviously, Han Solo is like, yeah, I'd say Han Solo is probably my favorite character of the OT3. So looking at Alden Ehrenreich, he looks the part. Like, I really think they did a good job casting somebody that looks like they could be a young Harrison Ford, or at least like a young Han Solo. It's really going to come down to the swagger, though, you know, and the line delivery is part of that. And the way that he looks at people, like, you know, just like those over-the-top facial reactions that we know and love from Han Solo, that has to be there. Otherwise, I really think I think the performance is going to fall flat.
Yeah, I hesitate to even get into that kind of speculation about, like, you know, what's, because we've only seen a minute and 47 seconds of this trailer, of this movie, or like 2 minutes and 27 seconds, right, if you count that other teaser, which is really weird to me that they put out.
Yeah, the two teasers of almost identical length
within 24 hours or something like that. The first one was a teaser for the teaser, right?
Yeah, that was my understanding.
Like that was during the football game, like the big game, you know. When they were just like, they're like, oh, here's the, like, tomorrow on Good Morning America, you're gonna get it. And then they showed you like half of the teaser trailer with some clips that weren't in the official trailer either, you know. Like, it was just it was an odd choice. I mean, this movie is full of odd choices, I feel like, in terms of its production.
There was the TV spot, which is 45 seconds long, and then there was the official teaser, which has about 45 seconds more in length on the YouTube channel. So essentially, you know, very, very similar in length. I don't know why they couldn't just call them teaser one and teaser two.
What's odd to me is that the shorter one has clips that are not in the longer one. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's the weird part to me.
Yeah, and I mean, it's completely different because it has, like, both of them have narration, and they're both narrated differently. The official teaser is narrated by Han Solo, and the TV spot is, I don't know who, I guess I didn't see who that was. Was it like an officer of some kind or something?
Yeah, it was somebody in the Imperial Academy, is my guess. That's what I'm hypothesizing here. We'll get into, I guess, who's who, I guess. But yeah, the bottom line is each teaser was narrated differently, and the shorter one contained footage from that wasn't in the longer one, which is odd to me.
Well, I think we should just talk about the trailers then.
Okay, so the thing I want to really focus on in this trailer is it's aping completely like a Guardians of the Galaxy outlook on movies, which is in the sense that, like, we're getting a modern rock kind of score, which we sort of got in Rogue One, I feel like, in the teaser, but not really. We have a metronome to start this off, and the metronome is Han Solo flipping a bunch of switches in what I can only assume is the Millennium Falcon, but it could very well be anything else in the world. I don't know. Jake, you know the inside of the Millennium Falcon better than me, right?
I don't think anybody knows the inside of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, because it's not real. Well. That's why. My mistake.
Well, no, because it changes constantly.
Right. That too.
The configuration of the cockpits primarily is, that's my main gripe.
So we get these four clicks. It's counting off like a rock song, like a drummer like clicking off. It's almost like an Iron Man kind of vibe before we get the voiceover. You know, we get this like kind of
Tony Stark kind of like, oh, you know, but you're wondering how I got here. Like,
I was actually referring to the Black Sabbath song Iron Man.
Oh, so I'm in a Marvel headspace, definitely not thinking about Ozzy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think they use that, and they definitely use that in the Iron Man campaign, the Marvel Iron Man campaign. But like,
yeah.
But so instead of like a barrel from Iron Man, the song, we're getting like a whammy bar up, kind of like with this guitar chord. And we have that repeating over and over again behind Han Solo, just essentially giving himself the rap sheet. Which, where have we heard this before? Where have we heard the rap sheet in Star Wars?
Is this a test?
I mean, like, it should be a very easy test for you.
Forgery of imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
Is it Rogue One? So the rap sheet.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jin.
Yeah, Jen Erso. We're getting her rap sheet, like, you know, mayhem, you know, hitting a police officer, you know, like all.
Yeah, I was trying to think of somebody that like gave their own rap sheet. I thought that's what you meant, but like, yeah, Jen Erso, like the trailer, the initial trailers, they were like just listing off all of her crimes, and I think they cut almost all of that from the actual movie. But yeah, it's the same kind of deal.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10.
You know, like that's his line there, and. So we know when we're starting. I guess we don't know when we're starting. You know, it's like I
looks like he's in his 20s. So I, you know, he's been a trouble. He's just given you some exposition. Like he was a troubled kid. some trouble, and that, you know, led him down this path. Here
I think before we go any further, I really just want to stress that like all I want to analyze now is like what we're seeing in the trailer, and I don't want to be like, looks like we're definitely starting the movie when he's 20. You know, like we're definitely, I don't want to seem like we're doing that, because, you know, I always harken back to Pablo Hidalgo, you know, story, he's like the head of the story team or something for Lucasfilm. How it's just a trailer and how small a piece of this movie you're seeing, and it's impossible to judge anything. Like, who could have thought that Rogue One was going to start with Jin as a kid? You know, I guess we saw the toy, you know, but who could have placed that, you know?
You heard it here, folks. The Solo movie is going to start out with Han Solo as a child. Mike says so. So you want no hypotheses or big leaps
as to where we're starting. Yeah, like this could come very well like halfway through the movie once he meets whatever character he's talking to in this clip. Also, this voiceover may never appear in the movie or like this dialogue, as we saw.
It probably
from, like,
won't.
Yeah, as we saw from like Episode 8 with like, you know, it's time for the Jedi to end. You know, like that. I only know one thing and one thing for sure. It's time for the Jedi to end. That was not how it was phrased in the movie. That those lines were sort of said, but there was so much in between them. And it's just like, that's the nature of a trailer. They're just trying to make it most appealing to you. And yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, we got some cool stuff going on in the trailer at the beginning. Some car chases, you know.
It's very dirty. Like, it definitely seems grungy, which is what I was excited for with Rogue One. And I think it really, you know, it came off well. Because with the newer movies, you know, things are shiny again, except for, you know, when you're like on Jakku and all those places, yeah, it's all, it's supposed to be like outposts that are completely, you know, just ignored by the powers that be, like the Empire or the First Order or whatever. But I like that in these kind of like throwback standalone movies, we're able to go back to something that's a little more grungy, a little more lived in. That's something I really appreciate right off the bat.
Were you surprised by the color palette at all?
No. Well, this is what I expected it would be. But with Lord Miller, I thought it might be more colorful.
Yeah, that's what I was anticipating. The way you describe some of the like the on-set shots of like the cars and stuff, you said you were kind of disappointed in some of the way it looked. I was imagining like a colorful, like, what's it called? Fifth Element type, you know, scene going on.
American Graffiti almost, like, just kind of like the more like brighter 60s inspired. That's what I was kind of worried about, more of that like 60s 70s inspired nostalgic thing that they're throwing in there to make it more relevant and humorous. I don't know, but since they're off the project, it's kind of back to what I expected, the more muted tones, and I think that lends itself well to most action movies, but specifically Star Wars. And if we're going back in time to, you know, sort of the maybe almost the height of the empire. I guess this is probably like a decade or so off of that. But
the real question, though, is what is Dig going to say about the color palette in this film?
I don't know. I don't know. I think, what did he end up doing more? Did he end up brightening things or dulling things down? I know that a lot of fan editors are like really weird about like the greenish hue that turns up on Blu-ray discs, but
now bear in mind, I'm colorblind, so I don't really know what's going on here, but like, what I think that's what's happening in this opening scene. I think that's kind of what Dig was talking about in like the editing, because like episode 8, there's a lot of colors he didn't like in there too.
Yeah,
but like this chase scene with like this kind of motorcycle thing is chasing Han Solo in the little coupe, or I don't know, the land speeder, like that strikes me as like that gray green kind of thing that, you know, some people are kind of rallying against at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a lot of the green. The scenes definitely, they seem to change a little bit depending on where they are, but you know, there are scenes that are kind of, I guess if I were to pick like a key tone, there'd be brown, there's gray, there's tan, and then like towards the end of the trailer, there's like a deeper blue. So it's definitely more muted tones throughout, which I think will be more consistent, because I think fan editors, especially Dig, they're looking for consistency. So I think that's it. Overall, color-wise, I like the feel of it. I like when things are darker and a little bit more grungy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I Rogue One, I felt that was cool. And if this is how it's going to look, I'm down with that too. But what do I know about colors, you know?
Not much. We recently went through a little experimentation between you and I, because I am not colorblind, you are, and I found an app that is, you know, supposed to simulate colorblindness, which I thought was endlessly fascinating, because I was just sending screenshots of the app, which allows you to look through your camera in like quote normal view, and then below that it splits the screen and it shows you the same image with a filter that is supposed to mimic color blindness, and you could do all sorts of color blindness, but we picked the one that you have. And it was interesting to send you the screenshots and then have you pick out which items in the photo actually look different.
And also how they look different, because like I could spot a difference and be like, yeah, it looks green, and you're like, is that apple red? And I was like, no, it looks green now. And you're like, okay, well, that's not how it should be at all.
There were some things that were like, okay, like you could see that there's a difference in something, and then there were some where you just didn't see it at all. And I just think that stuff is absolutely fascinating. And I definitely don't mean to like, you know, what's the word?
Patronize.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't want to patronize. But you know, I just think it's just fascinating to like see how people see colors differently, and to bring it back around to this trailer or any movie in general. Now thinking about how you see the world and, you know, your normal and how it differs from my normal, like, it's just fascinating to try to think or look at something in a completely different way.
That transcends into so many different spheres besides like visual perception. It's like, you could just think about how it feels to live in someone else's shoes, like mentally, in terms of like,
well, yeah,
mental illness or like political views, you know, region of the country, you know, like your experience in Ohio is probably pretty different from my experience in New York City, but we both eat cereal in the morning or something like that. You know, like it's just all
like my red could be different than your red. But what like really, what really fascinates me about that is that, you know, color is like a huge motivator for like emotion and thought. Like when you see things in different colors, like that can change your mood, that can change like the way that you think about that item. So to think that you see that in a different color and that could possibly change the way that you feel about something compared to how I feel about something, that is fascinating. I would love to do a challenge episode where somehow we're able to pull it off, where we watch a Star Wars movie, I watch it with a filter that simulates as best as it can your color blindness, and then you get those fancy glasses that you say may or may not work, and you watch the movie with those glasses that may or may not correct your color blindness, and then we talk about that, because that is it's such a strange thing in my mind. And then you brought up the whole thing about bugs that can see colors that we don't even imagine. That blew my mind, and I had to go to bed because that just made me scared.
Yeah, the mantis shrimp. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that has like, that
creature, it can see like infrared. It can see anything. It can see like wavelengths of light that we can.
Isn't that also the creature that can like punch things at 60 miles an hour?
Yeah, it's like the fastest thing in the world. It could like break your sternum if it punched you. Like, it's just terrible, terrible creature.
The natural world is so terrifying.
I hope I never find one in the wild.
Anyway, yeah. Colors. Okay.
But,
so,
I mean,
yeah,
there are colors in the Han Solo trailer, long story short.
So, yeah, muted colors. The car chase scene kind of carries through for a couple seconds. This is where we get our first glimpse of Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo, and also our first look at Emilia Clarke as Kira.
Is that her name?
Think of Kira? Yes, it's pronounced Kira.
Well, no, I mean the actress's name. All I know her is as Khaleesi. That's the only thing I've ever called her before.
Yeah, yeah. She was in a movie with one of my favorite young actors. It was about Stephen Hawking. Really, really good movie. I liked it a lot.
Wait, is that the Theory of Everything?
Yeah. Oh wait, that was not Emilia Clarke. That was that was Felicity Jones,
Jenner,
right?
So yeah, that was Jenner. Oh,
I get that confused all the time.
I bet they
There's
hate
definitely
that.
A type for the female.
That's like a Helen Hunt, Jodie Foster thing, I feel like, even though they don't look anything alike.
No, I get that. But, like, I always get, like, Helen Mirren confused with everybody else. But with Star Wars, they definitely seem to have a type that they cast. It's, like, the, you know, the attractive brunette actress that looks kind of the same, has sort of a distinctive smile for some reason, and strong eyebrows.
Strong eyebrows.
That's kind of their MO. Yeah, so... can we, I don't know if you're able to jump to this same timestamp that I'm at, but at exactly 11 seconds in, we see Alden Ehrenreich's hair.
Okay. I'm there. Yeah. I'm with you on this one. What do you got to say about Alden Ehrenreich's hair?
It looks like a piece.
A piece?
It doesn't look like, yeah, it doesn't look like real hair. It's so, I mean, maybe it's just 'cause it's blowing around, but it just doesn't look right.
He's got kind of a cool middle part going, right?
Yeah.
The lighting also, like the clip after it, this is another like infuriating thing about trailers for me, is that like there's no continuity at all, meaning like these are just two clips from separate parts of separate car chases, or like separate minutes away from the first part, because the first part is, you know, driving with Kira, I guess, in like an orange light, and then the next scene he's looking over his shoulder and he's clearly in daylight again. It's all just like it's all piecemeal, and that's to be expected. There's no way to actually figure out what's going on in this movie from this trailer.
Right. What do you think about the controls? Are you like
the steering
14
wheel?
Seconds in? Yeah, the steering wheel and like the controls on the panel. What do you think about that?
I mean, in terms of them existing, like I don't know. I feel like it's the same as Luke's landspeeder and Tatooine, right?
Well, I don't remember seeing like a lot of controls in Luke's landspeeder, but to me, it looks partially 70s. They have things on here that are, you know, partially 70s, also very 60s inspired, with like the chrome bevel around whatever that meter is to the left, but also like in the middle, just like it, that console.
Oh, I'm looking at it. That's a nice Easter egg right there. That's the trench.
Yeah, that's, you got the trench on that little screen, and then it's surrounded by all these like little lights and buttons that just look so, it reminds me of my parents' cars from the 90s. They're just very 90s controls.
Oh man, that trench is actually really interesting.
I think that's odd. I in the trench it made sense because there were walls. On this one though, it's like, I don't know.
I think it's his Garmin, really. He's just navigating.
The car definitely doesn't look as bad as I remember it looking. It does look like Kira's in the shot, so maybe it's part of the same chase. But I remember the car and like the behind the scenes shots looking a little bit more spoilery, like it has, you know, it's got that big spoiler on the back, but I remember it looking more like faux 50s, faux 60s, kind of like strange modern, you know, the 60s modern aesthetic. It looks like maybe they took off some of the kit and made it a little more futuristic again. I kind of like it, actually. It's kind of a neat little speeder. Very bare bones.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, it looks like something I'd see on Tatooine. It was just, this one is green instead of orange or yellow or whatever Tatooine is. So yeah, I don't know. It makes sense. You know, we're entering that time period of you know, that fashion style, I guess, for automobiles. What do you call it? Speeder mobiles?
Yeah.
For vehicles in the Star Wars universe. You know, I imagine trends come and go in the Star Wars auto manufacturing.
And probably vary planet to planet.
Yeah, I guess whatever you can find.
I think who makes the speeders? Is it Simar Fleet Systems? Do they make the speeders, or is it another brand that I'm not quite as familiar with?
You're flexing a nerd part of your brain that I don't have.
Well, I started writing that book about the like the Imperial ships, and I didn't really get into much of the neutral factories, but I know that, you know, some of those plants made some of the same ships, so it's kind of interesting.
Right. What do we got else from the voiceover here? I feel like we should probably dig into that.
There's a part here that is very Iron Man to me, and I don't mean the song. It's the bit about how he's kicked out of the Academy
for having a mind of his own.
I was kicked out of Flight Academy for having a mind of my own.
Like, it's just very like Tony Stark to me, almost like, you know, braggadocious in a way, like explaining like, well, I was doing this cool thing and, you know, the man just didn't really like how I did it, so I did it my way. Kind of Han Solo-y, but the voice just isn't reading Han Solo to me.
I would think he would be drawing a little bit more instead of being resentful.
A mind of my own.
Yeah, he'd be more like sarcastic, I feel like. We're doing it again. We're doing it where we just start saying like, well, I feel like this fictional character would do this one thing and not this thing that they're showing me the fictional character doing.
Sure. I agree with you, but this movie is called Solo. This is a movie about Han Solo, and Han Solo is iconic for a reason. Like, there's a reason why they're making one of three planned standalone movies about this one character. You know, like, the last one was about a story. This one is about one specific character, and that character is Han Solo. And the character is well-loved for a reason. It's because of his swagger. It's because of his personality, not really for anything else. Like, I was never really that interested in the backstory of Han Solo. Like, it didn't matter to me. I just love the character. So the only reason I'm really excited for this movie is because there's the possibility that we'll get more Han Solo. And that's what I want to see. I want to see Han Solo, but it has to be Han Solo.
Or do you want to see Harrison Ford?
No, I don't know. Not at all. Like, I don't care who the actor is. I love Han Solo, but you have to have those characters' qualities. And maybe we'll find out after this movie that this guy wasn't the one to capture that. But, you know, there are definitely, if you just search Google or search YouTube for Harrison Ford impressions or Han Solo impressions, there are people who do a very good job. They don't necessarily look the part, but they do a good job. So I really think that's a valid test for this movie, this trailer and this movie, is like how well is Alden Ehrenreich going to step up to the plate and pull off this character, because that's the challenge for him as an actor, is to embody this character in a way that's authentic.
I think it's ultimately down to the direction he's getting while he's doing these voiceovers or these scenes when they're recording them and filming them, just because I don't think, like, I mean, it's up to the director to take charge and say, like, oh, you need to do it this way or say with this. And that's what I think happened, you know. But honestly, I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm going to see this movie in theaters, and I'm willing to suspend my disbelief over a voice. Again, like, we got to think about, like, substitution here. It's weird to have to do, like, calculus in your head while you are watching a movie, but, like, just mentally substitute Harrison Ford in that and mentally substitute it in his voice, you know, like, okay, there we go. I can hear him saying that, but I'm just giving him a little bit of a like sarcasm, more of like a eye roll as opposed to more of like a furrowed brow, which is what we're getting from Alden Ehrenreich. That's the kind of the biggest difference. I'm seeing like a very angry Han Solo as opposed to a very incredulous Han Solo, which is what I would expect.
Yeah. Or not even angry. Just like, it sounds like he's bitter.
Yeah. Which, I mean, hey, you're in your mid-20s, I'm 150 years old, so like we know what it's like to be bitter and in your early 20s getting rejected for something. So I mean, I feel like, you know, that's what it is, you know. He's young. Young, dumb, and rebel scum.
Print that on a shirt.
You can do that. That'll be Bantha Fodder merch.
Yeah, I'm working on it. There's a spot at 23 seconds in where he says he wants to be a pilot, and it looks like he's wearing a coat made of
Chewbacca.
Yeah, like, I think he's just been cleaning out the drain of Chewbacca and just saving it and weaving it. It's sort of a strange...
What if he did have a Wookiee pelt on, and that's how he meets Chewbacca? Like, what if that's the case? Because, like, there's like a long-running thing, and... It's a big thing in Star Wars. Like, Wookiee pelt is like kind of like a, I think it's an EU thing, but like it, that was like one of the passwords in Rogue Squadron. If you type Wookiee pelt, you could like unlock the Millennium Falcon as a craft to fly in Rogue Squadron. And, you know, I'm sure it like it's probably a reprehensible thing. It's like, take the pelt of a sentient being. So like, what if Chewbacca like sees him in this big fur coat and he's like, that's my brother.
Yeah, or just like they're on the same street and Chewbacca notices Han Solo, who has a Wookiee pelt on with a hood up, and he just thinks it's another Wookiee, and he goes over and like addresses him, and Han turns around and then you know, Chewie gives one of his little oh.
It could be a Tauntaun.
Tauntauns were white, weren't they?
I heard they smell awful on the inside. But it looks great on the outside. Tauntaun chic.
I saw something funny recently on the internet. It was, you know, I think my cousin sent it to me. It was like a meme where it was talking about how Wookiees live for like 400 years, which would technically make Han Solo Chewbacca's dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we think about it the other way around almost. Like, they're companions, but like Han Solo is going to live for just a very, very short amount of time in comparison to Chewbacca. And Chewbacca's already lived for a really long time.
And they're also like very intelligent creatures. Like, we don't know the limits of the Wookiee intelligence. Like, they're clearly like smart enough to make both. It seems like if you look at like Knights of the Old Republic, when you're on Kashyyyk, like, it seems like they're more primitive tribe-based tree dwellers and, you know, but like, we don't know what their customs and like their stuff is like. So they may be primitive technologically, but like, as far as thinkers go and like math goes, you know, maybe they're brilliant and, you know, we're just dumb humans.
Yeah, they just can't, like, you know, they don't speak English, so not everybody thinks that. They think they're just these big dumb brutes.
But they live in trees because they're enlightened.
Well, obviously they're very tactically minded. They're very good warriors, so they've got to have some sort of smarts. They just prefer the tiki hut lifestyle.
Exactly. They're enlightened. It's like they're like people in Florida, you know, the millionaires that go retire to Florida. Like, we're going to go live in a tree now. I'm going to go down to Boca and, you know, just live on the beach.
They're exactly like that.
Except they're naked. Okay, so we have Han Solo standing on a, looking over some mountains. Cool. Nice coat.
But this is where it starts getting good.
Oh, your Coke white.
Coke white Millennium Falcon. Fresh off the lot.
There's some really good comparison shots of like the Falcon as it stands in the sequels, I guess we're calling them now, as opposed to the prequel Falcon, which is just, you know, Coke white, as you love to say, versus like the disgusting like buildup. Like, you can just tell the kind of person Han Solo. This says so much about Han Solo's hygiene, you know, based on like how he takes care of his ship and how it looks in the later movies. Because there are people who take care of custom cars and like, you know, condition the seats and do all this ridiculous shit. And when it comes to, you know, like Han Solo and his car, he's just driving like a beat up Mustang that he never took care of.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he's telling Lando not to put any scratches on it. You know, like, he'll know. Like, every
that's more of a property thing, I feel like. It's like, this is my thing to put scratches in.
But I think more it's less of a like a negligence thing. I think it's more of every bit of grime, every scratch that I put on this thing has a story, and I know every single one of those stories. Like, it's all history. It's all just built on history. And right now we're looking at the Millennium Falcon with essentially zero history. I mean, everything is shiny. There's still like buff on the floors.
I mean, we don't know what. I mean, this is what's the word in terms of like the press releases, that this Falcon is meant to entertain. It's Lando's, but it's his like entertainment ship to make people. I feel like that's what I was reading. It's like a pleasure yacht or something like that. For,
I could see that.
Not a freighter. Like, the YT-1300 is a freighter by trade,
but this one is, you know, probably modified for cruising, looking cool.
I would love to go cruising with Lando.
Yeah, but then he looks up at it, and it, you know, it's a little bit darker in this shot, so it kind of looks more like the Falcon we know. Plus, it doesn't reveal what we see later as far as the modifications, or I guess the stock features of the Millennium Falcon on the front end. So this is kind of a cool little shot.
And then we transition over to a beach and we get Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. How do you feel about Woody Harrelson being in this movie? Because personally, I love the character. I love the actor. Sometimes when I hear that he's cast in something, I'm like, oh, I kind of know what we're getting now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Kasdan or whoever was, whichever father or son was kind of creating this person, or the story group was just like, we want someone kind of like how Woody Harrelson is in like Zombieland, or like, you know, we want Woody Harrelson's character from whatever Woody Harrelson movie we can think of. I mean, he pretty much plays the same character in every movie, right? Like, situations different, I guess.
More or less. I'd say that his character in Three Billboards was a little bit different, but that was also...
That's true. I haven't seen it. Okay.
Traumatic movie.
Yeah, I couldn't speak on that. But like, based on, like, he's always just kind of playing like this skeptical, kind of drawly, just wheeling and dealing kind of dude, I feel like. I mean, that's only speaking to my limited knowledge of Woody Harrelson, but whatever. I think he's a tremendous actor as it is, and I'm happy to see him. It's kind of how I feel about Benicio del Toro kind of being in episode 8. You know, it's like, oh, wow, we have this, like, A-lister. You know, we have these A-listers now getting into Star Wars. I mean, not that... I mean, like, Oscar Isaac, I don't think he was an A-lister when he was cast as Poe Dameron, I feel like. I mean, he'd done some stuff, you know.
I mean, he had won awards. I mean, he was doing pretty good.
Well, he did Drive. He did something
Inside
here.
Llewyn Davis.
Oh, I know, but that's what I mean. Like, I don't think he was an A-lister in that. I feel like John Goodman was like the biggest name in that movie. You know, like, people were saying who still when he was cast. I know I was, and that's maybe because I'm an idiot. But yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, no, I totally understand where you come from. I get that.
But yeah, it's nice to see people who have been around for a while. Getting to be in these movies, like Max von Sydow, you know, as Larson Sontekka.
Even if it's a minor role, like, just kind of pop in as sort of like some sort of you know, like mentor figure of some description, or like a respected leader of some tribe. And that's it kind of looks like that's what Woody Harrelson is here. I mean, I'm not really sure.
He's the Danny Ocean of this, and I think that Han Solo is the Rusty Ryan. You know what I'm talking about at all?
Nope.
Ocean's 11. Have you never seen Ocean's 11?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I run a successful Frank Ocean fan website, so whenever someone says Ocean, like, it takes me a couple seconds to cycle in the different first name.
Yeah. The Atlantic Ocean must give you a lot of pause.
Who?
Oh, my God. You're the worst. I'm glad. That was a good bit. Just want to commend you on your bit right there.
Well, they're on this kind of, like, cliffside beach scene. There's these like weird little pillars. So I don't know. It kind of seems to me that maybe he's seeking advice or guidance from Woody Harrelson, because that's usually the role that Woody Harrelson plays in some way. You know, like, I feel like we know what we're getting with him. But it's cool to see him, because I absolutely love Woody Harrelson. He's great and everything.
We're getting another heist movie, it looks like. And that's essentially what Rogue One was, right? It was a heist movie. I think it was grander in scope and, like, in the journey they wanted to take you on. Like, I don't think we knew we were stealing the Death Star plans at the beginning of Rogue One. But when in this movie, like, it seems like, you know, we meet this... Like, it seems like we're going to be focusing on some kind of heist based on what I've read, you know? I can't say the trailer's saying that, but I can say it's going to be like sort of a heist movie.
Hey, kid. I'm putting together a crew.
I'm cool with that. I mean, I like those heist movies. I'm totally cool with them. We get a shot here of Kira coming off of the Falcon with L337, who I'm sure people are just going to be referring to as Leet.
Oh my God, they did it? They actually called the droid Leet?
Yep, they sure did.
That's so stupid.
She's got a pretty fancy cape on.
Next one's gonna be called Haxor.
Oh gosh. Or like H8-R.
Hater. Oh, droid 531. What is the boobies thing? You like that joke way too much.
I just didn't expect it from you.
Pen 15.
If you don't get that joke, go to penisland.com and you'll get it.
Please don't.
Not with your kids. we get a little shot of them. I think this will be interesting because this droid is played by a woman.
Yes, the first female droid in all of Star Wars, except for the C-3PO unit in episode 1.
We are greatly honored by your visit, ambassadors. Make yourselves comfortable. My master will be with you shortly.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's right.
I guess that was a female droid. Maybe it was pink or something like that, so that's why we gendered it that way, but...
Well,
technically, droids don't have gender.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, we gendered that droid, you know, so I don't think the droid necessarily was female. Might have had a high-pitched voice and been pink, but that was our saying it was female. I want BB-8 to be gendered as female.
He's just gendered as cute.
Is that too bold a stance to take?
I remember there's actually some debate about that when the first movie first came out.
I don't think they use any pronouns. They say buddy a lot. You know, he's like, hey, buddy, BB-8, you know, but I don't think there's any gender pronouns used for that droid. I think R2 probably has a he in there with 3PO saying, like, he does this sometimes or something like that.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I bet you at some point they slipped up and that's probably true. All right, so we see Emilia Clarke. She's looking fly. And then we get a really, truly amazing shot of Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. The moment that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, you can go home after seeing this. Like, just shut off your television, close the YouTube window. We just got that smile, that outfit, that stash. Oh.
Yeah, he's just got that glare. I love it. And he's wearing, I mean, he's got it untied right now, but he has an ascot on. I love it. This uniform is so good.
Look at the cuffs on that suit.
Yeah, I know. I think this is... Is this a reproduction of the uniform that we used on our artwork for the single? Oh, no. He had a blue shirt on. But it's very, very similar. Very similar look.
You can't tell what color that is. There's no way you can tell what color that actually is with that yellow light blasting all on him. That shirt could definitely be light blue. This is like a blue and gold dress versus like a blue and black dress versus whatever other color people's. I was out in left field for that whole debate with that dress thing. There's no way I could ever tell what color that is.
It's a little bit different than that, you know, that classic photo shoot with Billy Dee Williams, as, you know, as Lando with like the cape and everything. But it's a very similar look. You know, it's got that feel, that Lando dressed up feel. I love this shot. I'm so excited. If anything, for this movie, I'm most excited for Lando, like hands down. I really think they would have done better to just make a Lando movie because you got a star here. I mean, he's going to crush it. I know he's going to crush it.
I just feel like he can do no wrong. And I feel like he's going to be the best part of this movie without a doubt. You know, like, over all the action scenes, like I feel like people are going to come away from this wanting more Donald Glover. No matter how much we get, we're going to have wished it was what you said, like a Lando movie.
Do you think at any point in this movie, they're going to have Lando sing or are they just going to let that go?
Lando saying what? Oh, Lando sing?
Yeah. Do you think at any point, like, they're going to be at a bar and he's going to do, like, karaoke or he's going to, you know, there's going to be some sort of, like, little number where he's, you know, he's, like, singing something before Han walks in or something like that just because it is Donald Glover?
No, I don't think they're going to do that, Jake.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see it.
I think you acted out that fantasy in our rendition of Rebellious Landino last year.
Yeah. Yeah,
which has been overshadowed, sadly, you know, by what's his name, Demi's thing.
Yeah, I don't know how to say the comedian's name. I really like his Twitter.
He's hilarious.
You know what, his video is funny.
He's on HeadGum.
Really?
Yeah, he did Gilmore Guys.
Oh, so he probably heard ours for sure.
Oh, definitely. He's probably a big Bantha Fodder
fan. Big fan. That video was really funny. Like, I'll give him credit. Like, I thought it was a really funny video.
He did a fantastic job.
He was just, you know, he's like a year too late.
All right, so we got Han Solo getting recruited by Woody Harrelson, and he's putting together a crew. We got the droid. We got Lando. Who's this woman that we see after Lando?
Oh, she's so good, Mike. She was in Westworld.
Oh, wait, that's her?
Well, this is Thandie Newton. What was her character in Westworld?
Maeve. I knew it was Maude. I was going to say Maude. Do you think that... Wait, do we know her character's name yet?
I think we do.
Is it not Sana, is it? For everybody who's not keeping up with the Han Solo comics or any of the Star Wars comics, which I imagine is most people, we find out... This is not a spoiler. I guess if you're reading the comics, it's a spoiler, so skip, you know, like 10 minutes ahead if you don't want to hear anything about this, or like 5 minutes ahead. I don't know. Sana Solo is the wife of Han Solo, and I think she is... It's just like a sham marriage, I feel like. I don't remember. It's been like a year or two since I've read that comic.
From what I can read, like, they haven't officially announced that she's Sana, but Daily Dot reported on the 7th that she's playing Sana Steros.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, she'd be a perfect fit. She's so good.
Probably a little bit older than 20, though.
Yeah, a little bit. She looks great, though.
Age is just a number.
She's got a... Is that, like, a breathing apparatus, though?
It looks like a gun, if I had to guess.
There's, like, tubes on her
uniform. That's the flamethrower part.
Oh, okay.
Looks like she's getting ready to cock whatever she's using.
I don't know if I'd want to strap tubes of fuel to myself that way, though.
Star Wars. It's the Force, man. She's using the Force.
That's not how the Force works.
Maybe it's Sana Solo, or Sana, what's her, whatever her last name is supposed to be before she gets married to Han Solo in a sham marriage.
What the hell is this? This
it looks
shot.
Like a monkey, right?
It does look like a monkey.
Like a baby monkey. It's Dunstan checks in space.
So strange.
It's a monkey throwing the cover off of something. Is that a turret in the Falcon?
He doesn't look like he's in a Falcon. It looks like he's sitting in a, like a pilot's chair of some sort of shuttle. And then there appears to be...
It's a gunner's chair. It looks like a gunner's chair to me.
Maybe, but there's a guy behind him.
Yeah, who looks kind of scared while he's throwing this off. I also don't really have a sense of scale here. This person, this could be like a Planet of the Apes-sized monkey, or it could be like an infant-sized monkey that's sitting in a gun turret. It's really not clear.
I think this is a land vehicle. Just from, look at the slit to the character's left. That definitely looks more like a like an Imperial land transport of some description.
I can't really see the uniform or the person behind him either.
It looks Imperial just because of the hat, but it's kind of hard to tell.
Those kind of look like Hoth, like what they wore on Hoth, like those goggles. So I'm guessing it's on the snow planet that they're standing on. And then we got this silhouette shot of whatever is going on there. It looks like he's in a like a cantina type thing or like a dingy bar.
Maybe they're playing Sabacc.
Sabacc, and this is where he wins the Falcon. Oh my God, what's gonna happen?
I bet this is they say there's a yellow glow here. I know I'm stretching, but there's a yellow glow here. I bet this is the same scene that we saw Lando in earlier, and this is the scene where he wins it from Lando.
You're right. Yeah, this does look like a card game. Like they're centered around a table, so whatever's going on, it's probably Sabacc. Cool. We go black.
You in?
That's yes.
We got the obligatory Chewbacca.
And the obligatory translation. For Chewbacca.
Yeah, and then we get the metronome again, and it's clicking off into a new tempo, which is kind of cool. And then we get the titles and everything. But we have a lot of switches being flipped. We have a lot of droid winking, I guess, at one another.
Well, it's Lando and his droid, like, signaling off to each other, like, with the little, you know, like, two-finger salute.
What if this droid... I guess we know who Lobot is, right?
I had a theory about that too. Like, do you think that like
this droid's consciousness just gets like zapped into Lobot? Well, because we pretty much know what Lobot is, but we don't know how he became maimed.
Because he was already there during the Lando comic, right?
The Lando comic, he was already being like, it was a military injury, I feel like, and he was, I think that's what I'm, if I'm remembering correctly, he had a military injury or something like that, or some kind of bad injury, and he was being sustained. And then throughout the comic, spoilers again for the comics, so skip, you know, a minute ahead if you don't want to hear this. He gets injured really badly towards the end of the comic run, and he essentially is overtaken by his computer in his head.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what that says about a droid. Like, if this droid seems to have a lot of personality, I don't think it... I don't know. It's just, you know, just have the fact that Lando has a companion does not mean that it's going to have anything to do with Lobot at all, seeing as we know a lot about their relationship, you know, based in the Lando comic, but... I don't know. It would be cool if something happens to this robot where it has to be, you know, relegated to being like an implant chip or something like that for Lobot. And that's what sustains him in the end. It would be cool.
This droid looks like Chappie with a different head.
It looks like a Roomba on a body.
Like they cut off the top of an R2 unit and put it on a K2 style droid.
That's true. Yeah. I like switches being hit. That's probably my favorite thing.
No, I think you're right. This thing is really well scored, and like all the sound design is super well done. Like, you know that there was somebody on set. If this wasn't like the director's idea, like there was somebody on set who had the forethought to say, like, let's get some really good shots of him just messing with these controls, like close up, get the audio in there real good.
Well, I mean, it's all Foley work anyway.
Probably.
Yeah, so but the visual is there. These switches needed to be hit in visually. So they knew what they were planning it ahead of time, definitely. And then we have Canto Bite, I guess. That's what people are saying that this is.
Is it?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, it doesn't say Canto Bite, and like maybe that's in, I haven't read too much behind the scenes stuff, so maybe they're showing it, but look at, like, what is that, like, is it like a fetus, like a preserved fetus in like a jar of water or something in that shot? It's like a head crab from Half-Life or something like that, just in a like a pickled head crab.
I think this is a duet. I think they're singing here.
Do you think Lando's the other part of the duet? Is that what you're really hoping for here?
No, I think the thing in the floating thing is...
Oh, you think that's like the... We're doing an interspecies duet, kind of like Jabba's palace?
Yeah, I think this is just how that this little thing gets around. I think it maybe is a water creature, and this is...
It sings?
Well, the lady is holding a human-sized microphone, and if you look on the little cage thing, it has two little arms that are coming up around this little circle thing, which looks like a microphone to me. It almost looks like one of the little things that they have on in like a bank window to slightly magnify the voice so that you can hear the teller.
I want one.
You've got three women in that shot all dancing exactly the same way. And then we've got Emilia Clarke all dressed up. And she has lines.
Oh, she has lines. Nice. That's good. Does it pass the Bechdel test, though?
And she's British. I mean, that means that this is Rey's mom.
Oh, shut up. You're the worst. She's the drunk that abandoned her for drinking money.
Yeah. Well, you know that's going to come up.
She's definitely playing the Tess. She's the Tess of the Oceans movie. She's going to be like the bait or like the femme fatale kind of thing. Although I wouldn't call Tess a femme fatale if we're speaking strictly Ocean's 11 right now. But she is the bait a lot of the time. She looks like Julia Roberts.
A little bit.
No, I don't mean Emilia Clarke. I mean, do you remember in Ocean's 12?
Do they literally say that looks like Julia Roberts?
There's a bit in Ocean's 12 where Tess's character, they're like, you look a lot like Julia Roberts. You could probably get us into this hotel because you say you look like Julia Roberts. And then Bruce Willis plays himself. That was like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in a movie. It was so stupid. Talk about meta if we're talking about Star Wars.
Oh, those movies are great. Yeah. Is the new one out yet, the all-female cast?
No, it's coming this summer probably.
I hope that's good.
Me too. I hope Danny Ocean's in it.
Brief cameo.
So then we got Han's blaster. Surprise.
Yeah, and we've got a bunch of these. Okay. The character design on these things are really cool, but it's like a combination of designs between Skiff Guard and then leftover designs for Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I do see some of that. Maybe this is the Knights of Ren, the beginnings of that.
These look like designs that I've seen in like the art of books.
Kind of like Beetleborgs. Remember Beetleborgs? No.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, they look like Beetleborgs.
Very cool designs, though.
It looks tribal. It looks primitive. Some blasters, some shock sticks or whatever, big meaty paddles.
Warwick Davis.
You think that's him? It
probably,
is him, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. No, I really like these. It's more of like, they look samurai-inspired, some of them. Like, they've got sort of like the headdresses that look... like that futuristic samurai feel, and the capes, and the guy's got the big baton weapon thing. I don't know. I like this stuff. This is the kind of stuff I kill for in Star Wars movies. I just love the like weird characters and the lore and just the different outposts and things like that. This one looks really cool.
I don't want to skip over her line.
I might be the only person who knows what you really are.
Which says a lot, I guess, about her character. But we don't know who he really is. And I don't think Han knows who he really is either. Maybe that's going to be the point of this whole thing, is he really doesn't know his place in the universe. Because we're hearing this trailer start with him saying how he's going to be the best pilot ever. He thought he was an Imperial pilot. Imagine if he'd gone that route. Imagine if he had, you know, like, straightened up.
You think he'd fly for the Empire, though?
It'd be weird. It's an alternate universe where Han Solo became a pilot for the Imperial Navy.
I don't know who this guy in the hallway is. I'm still looking at it, but he's got a helmet. They have a helmet.
Do they?
Yeah. There's
just
there's
big hair.
There's one shot that I can't seem to get back to in this YouTube video where a red blast.
Oh, yeah. It's a helmet. I see it. I'm calling Donald Glover. I think it's Lando's cape.
But he's got a helmet.
It's
Lando's not going to wear a helmet. He's going to mess up his hair.
It's not Darth Vader.
It's not Darth Vader.
No. Although, I mean, that's
he has a gun.
No, it's not Vader. We know that. We have some stuff blowing up. This could be next shot is a stuff blowing up, a bunch of CRTs with sparks going off. Looks like somebody's playing Snake in the bottom left-hand corner. Do you see that?
Yes, it does look like that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of those other, like, droid taking a last stand kind of thing.
Oh, you think it's another K2?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But it looks like they could be holding a comlink or a detonator in the left hand and something's going off. But do you notice that looks kind of practical? I mean, I'm not a visual effects specialist, but, you know, the way that it's moving and the way that the light is playing off of it.
Yeah, I think this is definitely practical. I bet they would have some pretty primitive robotics for certain scenes, and then maybe emulate them in others if need be. But I think in most cases with this droid, they're going to be standing in a scene or sitting in a cockpit, which is easy enough to puppet.
Yeah, I don't know. It does move kind of quick for animatronics, but who knows? I'm not an animatronics expert either. Gloved hand on a bar.
It's Woody Harrelson
pulling a switch. Looks like almost like a periscope thing. And then we see another snowy peaks.
Chase scene.
I'm calling it now. This is the opening scene.
You think it's going to open on a chase?
Yeah, I think it's opening on a chase on this snowy planet.
Pretty much the rest of the trailer is just chase scenes or clips of different chase scenes. And then the last bit of this is where he's addressing what Emilia Clarke says when she says that she's like the only one that knows him or knows who he is. And he said,
"What's that?"
I feel like this is supposed to be the big sell on his character, but I don't know.
Mentally substituting Harrison Ford, I could see that happening.
It's hard to judge somebody on two lines, but I just feel like he's not doing like the. I feel like Han Solo in that situation would do like a, you know, like a sideways grin or something. But who knows? That he's probably also not replying to that actual question in that scene.
That's so true. That's true. To keep him, yeah, keep that in mind. That whatever he's saying, what's that too, is probably like a sound he heard. I don't know. No, but like I would see him kind of having the same face as like Laugh It Up Fuzzball when he's saying what's that. And like more like sarcastic and just like incredulous rather than like he looks very like he says what's that and then he kind of gets a mean look on his face after that.
Right. How do you feel about this the Star Wars theme that comes right after with the logo?
I think they gotta keep finding new ways to make this Star Wars theme.
This sounds like the version that they'd play on a Disney ride.
I mean, it sounds like a Clone Wars intro, you know?
Yeah, it kind of does. Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot about this little sting right after. Oh yeah. My gosh, this is the best part, man. Oh my gosh,
this scene is kind of what got me into substituting Harrison Ford for Alden Ehrenreich in my head, and like that it helped me see these lines of dialogue in a new light. But what are we seeing? We're seeing like what seems like a
Star
tornado.
Destroyer coming out of a storm. It's amazing.
Yeah. Do you think it's like a storm in the middle of outer space, or do you think it's like a atmospheric storm? I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Well, I don't know, because we've learned from books that Star Destroyers can't enter atmospheres because they get pulled down.
I've seen Battlefront, the game. There's a Star Destroyer atmospherically.
Well, I'm thinking of a book. And I think it was the Han Solo one, that shorter Han Solo series from when the Force Awakens came out. That came out with the three books. There was Moving Target and then Smuggler's Run or something. He used a trick where he was able to like, you know, use gravity to pull a Star Destroyer down to the ground or something. I'm not entirely sure.
Something similar happens that happens in Force Unleashed or whatever. They do some of that stuff with like pulling Star Destroyers down to the ground. But look at this TIE fighter that we see. Now you didn't play X-Wing Alliance, but that reminds me a lot of the robot TIEs that existed. And that there are these like automated TIEs that were running from control ships and like self-piloted ones.
This one looks like it has a window though.
Well, no, that's what they did. They were like double. There was like a big pod, and then to the side of the pod there was a smaller pod, and they still had windows in those ships and everything like that. There was like all these weird like spin-offs on regular TIE designs, and this looks almost identical to one of them. I'll send you a pic of one later. But that's interesting. I'm curious to know what is the deal with that one.
These ones definitely look fortified. They have bigger guns because you can see on the stems that go to the wings, those actually have mounted guns on the top and bottom. So that's kind of it's kind of interesting look. I'm not sure which model this is. It could be something new.
Who knows where they went after this movie, but certainly. Maybe this is the only prototype and it gets destroyed by the Falcon.
There were tons of prototypes, yeah. I mean, I think one of my favorite like prototype ships was actually Darth Maul's ship from...
Oh, the Sith Infiltrator.
Yeah, the thing's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
This looks like a really neat scene. I'm eager for this. And everybody's all on the ship at once, which is cool.
Donald Glover looks very scared during Chewbacca's roar. Everybody looks very fearful.
And this is, yeah, I think I can see what you're talking about here. Like he's kind of embodying Han's character a little bit more here. He looks a little more calm, a little more relaxed, and he's smiling. We're filing.
It's really the voice that is kind of off-putting to me I think. Like, I feel like the line is Han Solo. I feel like the look is Han Solo. But I just feel like his voice is, like, too, like, nasally and weird to be, to make me, like, oh, yeah, that's Han Solo saying that line.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
But I can totally see Han going, like, it's fine. Everything's fine. You know, like, when he's like, you know, hi, how are you? You know, one of those things.
But everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
And then there's a squid. There's a big tentacled monster.
A giant space squid with thorny stuff going on there. I'm excited to see what that is in the bigger scale of things. And then Memorial Day, it comes out May. It's going to be great.
I agree. I don't know. Overall, like, with this trailer, I'm no more or less excited than I was before. I think that the things that I'm most excited for this movie are still the same, those being Donald Glover and just seeing, you know, the ship in action and
space battles for me. That's all I care about, man.
Watching the Falcon flip around and everything. That's just gold. Can't really go wrong with there. Yeah, I don't know. I think it could be fun. If anything, you know, fun. Like, I'm not looking at these, like, I'm not looking at the Star Wars story movies as closely as the other ones. And, you know, the more that I rewatch the movies, the more that I love Rogue One. So I'm hoping that this kind of hits a similar vein for me. You know, kind of has that nostalgic feel, but also just an overall fun story. I hope it's a standalone story. It's an enjoyable one and something that is, it's fun to rewatch, and it doesn't necessarily need to lend itself to the overall story, like the Skywalker story. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be good, and it's cool that we get to see a Star Wars movie so soon. What do you think?
I agree. I like having them coming out twice a year, but I guess, I mean, this will be, we're going to go a long while before the next one, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think the goal is to get back on the summer schedule, which I don't like. I don't like that. You're not going to be able to watch it at Jordan's Furniture.
Why couldn't I watch it at Jordan's Furniture? I can go to Boston whenever I want.
I guess you could, but you know, you have an excuse to because it's over the holidays normally.
I usually go back twice a year, once in the winter and once in the summer.
Gotcha.
Rest assured, I will be seeing this movie at Jordan's Furniture in Reading, Massachusetts. But it's, I think it's more because like Infinity War is happening, and you know, then I think Christmas will probably have the second part of Infinity War, like the next Avengers movie, because they shot it back to back.
I didn't know that was a 2-part movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're calling it Infinity War Part 2, but they might give it a different name. But yeah, we have Infinity War and then whatever comes next. And I think they're going to be shorter than a year. I don't know what the word is on that. But I assume they're going to need something to take the summer blockbuster mantle after the big like Infinity War has played out. Because then they're starting whatever the next phase of the Marvel movies is, where they have to introduce more characters, and you know we get the
more Spidey, please.
Yeah, well, no, they're doing Spider-Verse, that animated one, which looks really cool.
With the new Spider-Man?
No, did you see the trailer for it? It's like kind of a, yeah, it's an animated trailer. It's got Miles Morales in it.
Oh yeah, well yeah, no, I saw that, but that's not. I like the current Spidey a lot. I want more Spider-Man movies with this.
They'll
kid.
Do that. Yeah, I mean, there's rumors about where they're going with that, and there's also that stupid Venom movie that's coming out. Like as a huge Spider-Man fan, I don't think I'm
alone. With the trailer where they don't even show Venom.
Yeah, I think it's cool to keep the mystery going, but I also think this movie is striking me particularly like similar to Solo, where it's like probably just been in development hell for years upon years.
Like, look, I love Tom Hardy, but. That was a lot of Tom Hardy in that trailer.
Did you see the thing of him talking to that international audience about like what storyline the movie is going to follow when they announced like, oh, this is going to be the Venom Lethal Protector storyline. And like Tom Hardy, you know, he just like flexes his muscles. He's like, all right, I'm going to be Venom. It's going to be great. And like, oh yeah, we're really going to do it. And like, I just felt really weird watching that. Like, I'm like, how much are they paying this dude? Like that he feels so obligated to talk about how much he's good, how great he's going to be at being Venom. Like, I think Venom is particularly interesting. I don't know, as like as much as I loved him as a kid, you know, like I don't feel like he can sustain a movie by himself, especially if it's not going to tie into the main universe. It's not going to tie into the rest of the MCU, I don't think.
Anybody in the world is going to be better than Topher Grace.
You didn't like Eric Foreman as a big meathead?
He ruins every movie he's in. Every movie. It's awful. He's terrible. I think anybody could do it better than him, but Tom Hardy, I mean, he's truly like a great actor. I love Tom Hardy. He kills it. So I'm excited for that reason. Like I'm more excited just to see Tom Hardy in like a, you know, like a big budget action movie like that.
I'm curious to see if they'll make me care about Venom. That's all I can think about with that.
Yeah, I'm not as attached to that character, so I don't really care. Spider-Man was my guy growing up, so I like that, but otherwise...
Do you want to talk about the other teaser that came out at all? I mean, I'm scanning it right now, and there's a few differences. A lot of similar clips, just some other vehicles, some more close-ups of that singer, a couple, looks like fights above a train. Really, I think the only thing to note of difference is, that it shows him actually in the Imperial Academy and, being lectured to... or lectured at by some other guy who's seeing him as a new recruit.
So you want to make a difference?
Yeah.
Trust me, you're going to love it.
I think that's kind of the only interesting part.
Yeah, is that what that is? Okay.
The voiceover in this one is somebody talking to him about what he's going to be doing, what he wants to do here at the Imperial Academy or wherever he is.
And which branch are you interested in joining?
I'm going to be a pilot. Best in the galaxy.
Otherwise, the only other shots in this that really stood out to me were the fight sequence on top of the train with Woody Harrelson and then that big bone stormtrooper Kylo Ren mask guy. And then there's another really cool shot of Lando Calrissian in a fur coat.
And then that arbitrary Chewbacca putting his hand at the end with the terrible sound effect of Chewbacca calling just the hand over the shoulder of Han Solo at the very end. That was silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a trailer. It looks like a movie. It's safe to say this will be a movie and it will be released in May.
Definitely not as excited for this one as other ones. I feel that the production issues probably kind of led me to that feeling. There's just hasn't been enough to hype it, and there's been more to kind of say this could be trouble than anything else, and it's kind of hard to ignore that. So
I think for me it's more about just this is the movie I never asked for in the first place,
and yeah,
I
know that too.
I don't have a say in this, and I truly wonder how many Star Wars fans were we need a Han Solo movie. I feel like there's more of an Obi-Wan outcry, even though we had three Obi-Wan movies.
Well, that's because we want Ewan McGregor back.
We do, but I honestly don't think there should be an Obi-Wan movie. I wish that he goes.
There could be something to that. I think there's definitely something to that.
He goes and becomes a hermit on Tatooine. His goal is to keep a low
profile. We know
what
happens now because of the comics, but
he keeps a low profile on Tatooine. Any adventures he gets into completely contradicts his desire to go and become clandestine on Tatooine. It doesn't make sense to me. Why it would happen. I can see that if they want to make money and please a lot of fans, then they'll do it.
I would prefer to read a book. I think a Kenobi Absolutely. Book would be really, really, really good.
That's why I'm liking the comics, I like that he just kind of looks over Luke's shoulder the whole time and kind of keeps an eye out for him. That's really cool to me that he does that.
And so much that I think most people love about Kenobi is his dialogue. So if you can just do a book,
hello
like,
there.
You can,
like that's,
the entire
I don't think
thing
his dialogue.
Just be, just
his dialogue his is book. Not what's interesting about him.
No, of course it does.
I think his dialogue in episode 4, definitely, where he's a sage old man, but his dialogue...
Well, he always has either the quips or something somewhat wise. He's very observational, and I feel if you write a book, you can just do the entire book in a way that, gives justice to the character, and you could even write it as if it was for, old Obi-Wan, but you can read it in Ewan McGregor's voice.
I guess. I just don't think of his dialogue, or anybody's dialogue for that matter, in the prequels being particularly strong. So I don't think we have a lot to go on there. It'd be nice for them to... I don't know. The long and short of it is I would prefer an Obi-Wan movie over a Han Solo movie, but I also don't prefer an Obi-Wan movie, so that's how I stand. But we're getting it. We don't have a say in it. We have a say of whether we're going to see it or not, which I'm definitely going to see it because I'm an idiot.
Oh, for sure.
And I would just give Lucasfilm all of my money.
I just hope it's fun. That's all I want. I don't care much about the Han Solo story. We've had a little bit in the comics, and yeah, that's fine. But Han Solo as a character that, what we got from episode 4 to episode 7, that is enough for me. I don't need any more than that. So anything else, I just hope it's a fun adventure. A little backstory on him, cool, but mostly just a fun movie that I can enjoy rewatching on occasion as a good movie.
I have faith that it will be that for you.
Well, yeah. My my expectations are not very high for this one, so hopefully I go in and I'm pleasantly surprised. You know, talking to my cousin, who is a huge Han Solo fan, who was very into the Han Solo Adventure books and all of the extended universe stuff, he's very knowledgeable about all that. I think the stakes are a lot higher for him. He definitely seems wary about it, and I don't think he's wrong to, especially for the things that he's looking for. You know, I give him heck all the time because, you know, it's he's in the camp where he's still upset that the extended universe was wiped and that they rebooted canon. Which is fair for, you know, someone that spent so much time invested in that world to just have it wiped away is probably really disconcerting. But I rib him for that all the time. So it'll be interesting to see his take when it's all over.
I think the biggest part about the EU getting wiped is that, like, there's all this stuff that doesn't really tie into the universe that kind of got shuffled to the side. And besides, like, Thrawn, which is, I think they'll pick and choose from the EU and bring stuff back. Maybe in this movie we'll see some more of that. Is that it? Are we good?
Yeah, I think an hour and a half on a minute and 45 second trailer is just fine.
It's everything I'd never wanted to be, but it's what I am now, and I just kind of come to accept that. And I'm sorry. I apologize to anybody who listened to this.
Yeah,
but just know that the sound editing was excellent, and that I did a great job of putting those clips in there and making this trailer. That's
these
it.
These are always most fun for you, I think.
These ones, yeah, they are. They're a lot of work, but they're fun. All right, so we will catch you next time. We'll figure out something else to talk about, because God knows we have 4 months to figure something else out before this movie comes out, and we have to actually review it. I hope it's something. You know, we'll figure something out.
Whether it be the colorblind challenge, or perhaps I would love to do another book. I know that we're both really busy, and it's probably out of the question, but there are so many books. I really want to do the Thrawn book.
The Thrawn comic is starting.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm not subscribed to any of the comics anymore. It's too much money, so I'm probably going to get on that that digital wave and probably be like a year behind. Is that what you're doing?
That's what I am, yeah. I'm like perpetually 6 months behind on all comics, but I get them for, you know, whatever, $70 a year. For the Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah. I there's a truck that drives by my house sometimes, and they fall off the back of it, so maybe I'll look into that. But
you should return those to its owner.
Yeah, and we still got to do Aftermath. I feel like we've been talking about that forever, and who knows, maybe it won't happen, but maybe audiobooks. Wouldn't that be better for us?
I guess, but then I'd fall behind on my podcast listening, and I'm pretty sure the world will end if I don't listen to all the podcasts that I'm subscribed to, so it's a realistic fear of mine.
I know. I've recently picked up two shows that I'm, like, catching up on, like, binging to catch up, and it's a huge hassle. Plus, Crooked Media just keeps putting out more and more shows, and they're all great. It's really annoying.
It's so annoying when they put out quality content. cool.
Start
all
to
right.
keep up.
We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening, and bye.
Toodles. Probably lost my voice singing Moon River for the past 3 days.
Bone River?
Moon River.
Moon River, okay. What's that? Why do I know that?
Well, if you listen to a lot of Frank Sinatra or Andy Williams, you probably heard it.
Moon River is like that.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah. Also, if what was it was a Chevy Chase movie where he goes to the doctor and he's getting a prostate exam and he's just talking to the doctor, and then the doctor goes behind him and Chevy Chase just starts singing Moon River. Oh my God, kills me.